For those of you who are new at the Institute, hopefully you got a packet on our program. You'll find information about our many publications, including our journal, The Independent Review, which is a quarterly journal that we produce, many of our books and upcoming events and so forth. You're also welcome to go to our website, independent.org. We also produce a weekly email newsletter called Lighthouse, which I think you'd all enjoy. So if we don't have your email address, please leave it before you leave, and we'd be happy to add you to the list. PJ's book, incidentally, is part of a new series entitled Books That Changed the World, for Good or Ill. In so doing, he has read the pioneering economist Adam Smith's book, which the short name is The Wealth of Nations. It was first published in 1776, and he read it, quote, so we don't have to, unquote. But there is a larger point here, which is to say that as moderns and postmoderns, many people tend to believe that we have today sort of reached sort of the pinnacle of learning and refinement, and that the only thing that's important is what is quote-unquote new. And if things that are quote-unquote old are, well, old and less important. But I think, as PJ will be discussing, this is a profound fallacy, because not only is our knowledge built upon the experiences and insights of many generations, but I think we would all find that the insights of the many generations that went before us also probed the most meaningful questions that every man has to face and every woman has to face, going back hundreds and, yes, even thousands of years. And I think Smith's book, The Wealth of Nations, is one good example of this truth. Before I begin, I wanted to quickly note a couple preliminary points very briefly that PJ, I think, very astutely mentions in his book, and which pertain to something called political economy. Political economy is a term that most people are not familiar with. It's actually, our journal is subtitled The Journal, A Journal of Political Economy. And the question is, what does this really mean? And the first point I want to note is to read for you the dedication to his son that PJ has placed in his book. Quote, in hope that he will grow up in a world that enjoys the morality as well as the materiality of the wealth of nations, this book is dedicated to Edward Clifford Kelly O'Rourke, unquote. The second point is to note PJ's special acclamation for another book by Adam Smith, which is entitled The Theory of Moral Sentiments, a book which he actually discusses in chapter 3 of his new book. As a scholar, Smith was not known as an economist. There really was no such thing at the time. He was a moral philosopher, a theologian, someone interested in moral ethics and trying to get to understand the world as it was, to understand the principles of how the world worked. The third point is PJ also makes a special reference to a 13th century scholar whose name is Albertus Magnus, who most people have probably not heard of. He is actually widely regarded as one of the most important German scientists, philosophers, and theologians of the Middle Ages. PJ properly notes that the understanding of free market principles actually has been known since at least the time of Albertus, which is 500 years before Adam Smith. Albertus was also known as St. Albert the Great or Albert of Cologne. He was from Cologne. Albertus was actually a Dominican friar who became renowned for his knowledge of the interdependency of metaphysics, essentially religion and belief system, and economic science. What Albertus did was that he was an expert on Aristotle, and he essentially did some of the really pioneering work integrating Aristotle's writing with theological writing. And one of its most important students was Thomas Aquinas. And Aquinas, as some of you may know, went on to really advance the field of so-called natural law and natural rights. And that led to many generations of scholars who are called the Scholastics in Italy and Spain. And they, in turn, developed really the first understanding of the theories of prices, money, competition, utility and value, and so forth. And that, in turn, led to the establishment of what was then called the Austrian School of Economics. Some of you may be familiar with the Austrians who came out of Vienna, the most famous of which is the Nobel laureate F.A. Hayek, but others such as Karl Menger and Israel Kirzner and others. Anyway, the point here is that these, I think, preliminary points from the beginning of PJ's book are really key, not just because they reflect the topic of economic principles, but that the development of these principles stemmed from actually moral philosophy. And so I think that's a key insight that, that Smith had, and I think that many of us can learn from that. So anyway, with that little diversion out of the way, we can now all relax and I think enjoy PJ's insightful and, yes, humorous look at Adam Smith. PJ is the best-selling author of 11 books. He graduated from Miami University. He attended graduate school at Johns Hopkins. He began his career really skewering people and views on the left and the right. He wrote for the National Lampoon, where he was editor-in-chief. He's also written for such magazines as Automobile, American Spectator, Playboy, Esquire, Vanity Fair, Harper's. He was the foreign affairs desk chief for Rolling Stone magazine. Most recently, he's been a regular correspondent for the Atlantic Monthly. And it's a real privilege to welcome back PJ, who's actually one of our advisory board members.